take a few moments to express some gratitude and encouragement for you folks that come on Sunday night. What we're seeing in so many churches today is the lack of commitment to be at service. And I know the sheriff isn't looking over your shoulder. You can skip church and not go to jail. And so I want to commend you for being here. And I know that a lot of you have to travel to be here. So thank you for coming. And we try to make Sunday night worthwhile. Amen. And even if it's a lousy sermon, it's good to be here. Every now and then, I think of brethren that have been an asset to the church, and I have come to appreciate Herman so much. Really have. Herman isn't my boss, but he's been a good man for this church. Appreciate it. Really do. And I always love him leading us in prayer, because there's some deep meaning in it. The subject tonight is the judgment day. And I want to say I take no delight in talking about the judgment day. And the reason I find displeasure in it, I know it's going to be a terrible day for the lost. And we all know people that ain't going to make it. Amen. And that don't mean we're trying to judge, all the negative things you hear about judging. But the Bible talks about if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have a chance. And I am of the persuasion you have to be committed to that. And so I want to just look at a few verses tonight about the judgment day. Now, of course, in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the Bible says in verse number 27, there's an appointment that we can't break. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Now, I want to focus just for a moment about the judgment as far as concerning us. And one of the things that some of the religious people in ancient times thought was because they had some kind of relationship with God that they were safe. And Paul addresses that issue in Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read it very quickly. But I want to bring out a few thoughts over there in Romans chapter 2, if I can get over there. And begin in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable. The Greek word means you're without defense. Here are people who are going to stand on the judgment day that have no defense. That's a terrible position to be in. Amen. Because they don't have an advocate. They don't have anybody to intercede for them. And they're living a kind of life that condemns their behavior, and therefore they don't have any defense about themselves. So what he says is, therefore thou art inexcusable for whatever thou judgest. And boy, Brett, some folks do this. Whatever thou judgest, for therein thou judgest another, thou condemneth thyself, for thou judgest the same thing. What's he saying? You're doing the same things you condemn in other folks. And just because of who you think you are doesn't get you off the hook. Does that all make sense to you? And so he goes on to say, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. God's not going to make any mistakes on it. And so, against them which commit such things. Now, Brendan, do you understand that if we're doing the same things that the folks are doing in the world, that's going to put us in some trouble? Does it make sense to you? And so, thinketh thou, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things, do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And the answer, of course, is no. You're not thinking right. Now the next, I'm trying to read this quickly. Or despisest thou his goodness and his forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God, of course, leadeth men to repentance. And so, you know, here's the thing. God's goodness and his mercy and his grace is not something you are to take advantage of. That it ought to cause you to repent. And so when you think about how good he has been to you and all that he has done to save you, that this ought to motivate you to live the way God wants you to live. Then in the next verse he says, but after the hardness and impenitent heart. Now there's the trouble. Oh, it just frustrates me. Because there's people that I love whose hearts are hardened. Let me tell you something about a hard heart. You don't have to be mean and nasty to have a hard heart. You can be polished, you can be diplomatic, and you can be a nice guy and still have a hard heart. You just can't get through, no. And I don't want to go into that too deeply because I had a big conversation yesterday about this whole business. And it just frustrates me to all get out. Because you want to get through, and they don't want to open the door to let you get through. And so what he's saying, here's the problem. Not only do they despise the goodness of God, but the real problem is they have shut the door. And you can't get through to them. And you can't fix the problem. They won't let you fix the problem. Do you find that frustrating? If you got anybody in your life that you're trying to reach and they've shut the door, you know how frustrating it is. Are you listening? And it's such a dangerous thing. And such a... when you get folks that just refuse to listen. And so... But here's the thing. They're treasuring up against them. Do you get this? They're treasuring up against themselves. And what they're storing up for themselves is the terrible wrath of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's scary to me. And then number verse 6. Who will render every man according to his works. Now, let me go to 2 Corinthians 5. We're just going to look at some passages tonight. Paul was talking about in verse 9 that he labors, whether he's present or absent from them, because of verse 10. Because in verse 10 he says, for we must, that is, of necessity, there's something that demands our presence. The judgment demands our attendance. For of necessity, we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All men have to appear. You think about this. Every man that's ever lived on this planet will appear before God on the judgment day. And it doesn't matter how small or how great he is, God is not going to be partial. Nobody gets a pass. He's going to judge every man according to his works. And so Paul says we must appear before the... Listen, can I say this? Because I know you're reading the text, but can I say this? The judgment day is a big event. When Paul says in Acts 17 that God has appointed a day unto the judgment, has appointed a day, rather, in which he'll judge the world is not aimlessly moving forward. Do you catch on to that? The future isn't aimlessly going forward, but God has a deadline and he's appointed a time somewhere there in which this whole business ends. So the time is already appointed. And so Paul is saying we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things which we've done in the body. Now you understand the real you is living on this world in the body. Just go like this. I know it's Sunday night. Keep both eyes open. But we have to give account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Now, you got to catch this, because the next verse says, therefore knowing what? The terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And in the conversation I had recently, you know, because when we talk about the difficulty and challenge of reaching people today, and the way that people are trying to do that isn't working. Yeah, and so, you know, if you go into New Testament, I think the way they did it then can work today, do you? We think we got to come up with some kind of maneuver. And if we start telling people what they told them then, for example, Romans 2:16 says God's going to judge the secrets of our hearts. That goes pretty deep. Right? And he follows up by saying God's going to he's going to judge all our secrets of our heart. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says the very same thing. He's going to bring the darkness things to light. You know, that's what's going to happen. Now, I'm telling you something. Then he says he's going to judge us by the gospel. So when you look at New Testament, many times in the preaching of the Bible, he talks about the judgment and the fear of judgment to get us to turn away from that terrible thing. So what I'm saying is the very thought of a judgment day, I think it was Daniel Webster that said, there's nothing more that has scared me or weaned me from the world than the thought of the judgment day. I think it still works. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. See? Now, if we go over to, let's go here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a couple more passages tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Jesus appears, in the old King James, it says he's going to judge the quick, and that doesn't mean some, it just means the alive. He's going to judge those that are alive and those that are dead. See? And then in Matthew 25, I'm going to end with this verse, but I want to say a few things about it. In Matthew chapter 25, that's the great judgment day. If you go over there in the 25th verse, beginning in number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his throne of glory. And before him he'll gather all the nations. All the nations. Babylon, Greece, Rome, and even America. All the nations shall be gathered before him. And he shall separate them one from another. Now, separation's hard. Separation's hard. If you've ever gone through relationship, you know that separation's hard. If you ever lost a loved one, you know that separation is hard. Separation is hard to deal with. And, you know, families are going to be separated on Judgment Day. We all probably have some in our families that might be lost. So when you think of angels casting the lost, that's a terrible thought. Because most of us love our families that we do about anything for them. Amen? And somehow that frustration comes when you know they're going to be separated forever, because there's a finality in the judgment, right? You don't get a second shot at it. And if you're separated on the day of judgment, that's it. And so it says he's going to separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Are you still awake? Okay. And he shall separate the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Then the king shall say unto them, come, that is on the right hand, come ye blessed of the Lord. Oh boy. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. Boy, isn't that going to be a good day? Now let me stop for just a second. I wanted to throw this out. You're only, can you get this? You're only, listen to me now, your only hope on the judgment day is Jesus. If any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. Therefore, there's no condemnation, right, to those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's where you want to be. But those that are on the right, he says to them, I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in. In other words, they're living out what God wanted them to do. That's real faith. They're living the story. And so, you know, they didn't compartmentalize religion. Religion wasn't just going to church, but Christianity was living the life. And so you can see that he could have put a whole list right there if he wanted to, but what he's showing is that they were doing the things that God wanted them to do. Right? Isn't that what it says? He's not saying, okay, if you just done these three things, you're in. That's not what he's saying. But when you saw somebody hungry, you had compassion on them. When you saw somebody need, see, Christ in you has caused you to do these kinds of things. It moves you away from mere ritual. See? And so, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. And the righteous will say, now watch it here. This is a very important verse. The righteous will say, when did we ever done that unto you? Now watch it here. He's moving away from legalism where everybody calculates what they do. They were living it out and they weren't writing it down. Look what I did. Do y'all get that? They weren't marking it down and say, well, you know, I did this and I did that and I done many wondrous things in thy name and I got the whole list here and I cast out demons in thy name, don't you remember? And so they just live, it was life, it was lifestyle, it was just the way they were living. And when the opportunities were present, does that make sense? just living, listen, just living the Christian life in your walk. And when the opportunity was there, when the occasion, they just did that. And he goes on with that. And then, you know, there's all, now watch it here. Now here's a problem. Has he divided the folks, those that were on the left hand? You know, he goes through the same kind of stuff, right? And they basically say, you know, they're basically saying, Jesus, if we would have known it was Sunday, if we would have known it was you, if it was you that needed to help, we'd have done it. Right? Isn't that what they're saying? And that's what they're saying. And, you know, because, you know, we but see what Jesus is saying, the same thing to them. You didn't live out your life doing the things I wanted you to do. But if we, oh yeah, but if we had known it was something we had to do and it was you, we'd have done it. Am I making sense there? And so he says to them, depart from me, ye cursed. I don't want to hear this, you. Depart from me. What I want to hear is, well done, faithful and good servant. Isn't that what you want to hear? That's what I want to hear. And I know if I hear it, it's going to be by grace and his mercy. See, I know that. I know that. And so he says to these people, though, and I don't know how religious they were. I don't know what they knew about God. I don't think he's talking about people in the darkest regions of Africa that never heard of God. I think he's talking to religious people that just didn't live out the story. That's what I think. I just think they just didn't do it. And so, you know, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't make hell for us. He made it for the devil. And God doesn't want us to be lost. Amen? I mean, he doesn't want us to be lost. But we got to remember that the world is moving towards the judgment day. And we're moving, a lot of us are moving to the end of our days, right? I mean, we're moving that way. I'm not talking to a bunch of teenagers here. There's just about one out of this whole gang. And you're not even a teenager anymore, right? I don't want to even ask you. You ain't supposed to ask the ladies about how old they are. But I don't think you're a teenager anymore. You're who? 20. You're 20. Whoa. An old lady. All right, so. So what were we saying, Kara? I don't even know what we're talking about. But most of us aren't teenagers anymore. And we're moving along in life. And God has a time and event that we're all going to participate. And our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. And that's why we need to live our lives for him. Right? That's why we need to. Because eternity is forever. If there's people, you know, and I've been trying to figure this out. I don't know how you get in their lives sometimes. We've tried to do good things, and that hasn't helped, and get in their corner, and that hasn't changed them. And, it's a frustrating thing. But what is more frustrating is if we don't even try to, right? And so we need to try, because it's such a big event. Boy, I'm thankful for God, aren't you? I'm thankful. And I'm glad that Jesus died that we can live. And we have hope. And boy, eternity is going to be fun. Did y'all catch that? Eternity is going to be a lot of fun. You might even learn how to play the harp. Who knows? I'm kidding now. But if you're here tonight and you need to turn, we hope you do so. Stand fine.